Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the weekend and another edition of Housing Information You Can Trust right here for the next 2 hours of the Inside Outside Guys. My name is Ken Carverly, and I am the Outside Guy.
Good morning, everybody. Chuck Brightside, happy to be with you. Did you know that Kermit the Frog was left-handed?
Kermit the Frog? I had no idea.
That was good.
You know, I had 5 kids, so I kind of got those.
So, Kermit, if you went to Catholic school back in my day, they would have tried to make you a right-handed frog.
Why? Did they just feel right? Is that true? They tried
to
make
you right-handed? Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, the Dominican nuns, bless their hearts. It was a good experience, but...
Why are we going with this?
I know it. My oldest sister was a lefty, and it was a big deal in the family. Mom finally intervened and said, leave her alone, because, oh, yeah.
Were lefties sinners, is that it, or...?
I think the devil's child.
Stop it.
True story.
One of my 5, my youngest is a lefty. Yeah, that's funny.
That explained. No, I'm kidding. She's a sweetie. Love her dearly. We're going to have fun today.
We are going to have fun today.
Except, very serious topic.
What's that, buddy?
Well, Kyle's going to call.
Okay. Kyle's Vibota. Do, do, do,
do, do, do. And he's a fire chief in Plainfield.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we've had him on several times. We enjoy having him on. It's timely to have him on. You came in, and I told you of 4 fires that I knew of. That I discovered this week, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yep.
Horrible. But it's that time of year, so it's very timely, and we need to talk about it, and you need to listen to us.
And there's new information. There are new devices that are causing fires in people's houses that never used to be an issue years ago, and they are issues now. And we're going to talk to Kyle Svoboda about that.
So, I know. Scary stuff.
Coming up at 10:30.
Yep. I look forward to the discussion. I hate the idea that we have to do it, but we got to do it, right?
We got to do it.
I mean, we really do. It's you hear families this time of year losing their home, and hopefully not a person as well, but the house itself and everything in it, and having to, you know, literally everything from pots and pans to a pair of socks in a drawer. You have to go replace.
Yep.
How horrible.
Happened to me. We talked about
that.
I literally, once our fire was over, I had a pair of shorts. That's all I had was the shorts I had on.
Are those the ones you're wearing today?
I'm taking them off. and this was 1991 in that time frame. Luckily, we had insurance. Luckily, people came through for us. Everything was fine. But it is very, very scary. And it usually happens just like it happened to me because the homeowner did something dumb.
How long did it take you roughly to kind of get back to the point where you felt home was normal again? Any 6 months, 5 months, two months?
Yeah, I'd say 6 months.
I was trying to think. Because like when you knew, we've been blessed to be able to move into brand new houses. And it takes a year, I always say, to settle in, to feel like it's home.
Sure.
Like one day you pull in the driveway and go, it's home.
Well, that was a mobile home. That was when my wife and I were young.
Sure.
We lived in a mobile home.
But it was home.
It was home. And then when that burnt up, we decided to go buy another one and put it on the exact same spot, but it was bigger. So I had to go in and dig some pillars, some foundation pillars. And then we moved back in. The fire happened in July. We were probably back in by October.
Oh, wow. That's pretty quick.
And we were young, so moving in with mom wasn't a big deal. And, of course, my wife's mother with the 3 babies, come on over. She was glad to have us, and it wasn't a big deal. So the money that we were supposed to be paying for, you know, they would have put us up into a hotel or whatever, but no.
You were able to save some dollars.
Yes, exactly.
But you were fortunate.
And we needed it.
Nobody's hurt.
Right. Yep.
Nobody's hurt. You find as it gets colder, and it got cold a few evenings this week.
Last night was cold.
Oh. All of a sudden, your hair and skin feel dry, or even you're seeing water spots and residue on your pots and pans when they go through a cycle. I mean, a lot of people are experiencing that, and they just kind of take it for granted, like that bathroom or basement smell you and I talked about. But the truth is, a good water softener would cure all that stuff. I mean, when we were kids, I remember I didn't even know what that was, and Dad went and got a water softener, had it installed, and it's like all of a sudden, it's different. I mean, you feel better coming out of a shower or taking a bath back when we were kids.
Sure.
Eight of us took a bath together in the same water, not together.
Dad started first, then mom. Then
yeah. And Chuck got thrown out with the bath water. But a water softener, I was shocked that there was something like that that would make water actually
feel better.
Yeah, feel better.
Yeah.
And it's still there today with the right company.
With Beauchamp Water Treatment Solutions. Absolutely. You want clean, healthy water. It's not just about drinking. It's about absorbing. So people say, oh, we don't drink our water at our house. Well, do you shower in it? Do you cook with it? You know, if you do it, you are absorbing it. So, and it's not that expensive to make sure that you are absorbing and drinking healthy water.
But you got to have a good company. You know, it's funny because over the years, when I used to live in a different city, there was a company that was notoriously bad at that kind of stuff. And as a builder, I would hear about that all the time. You know, we had a water softener installed a year ago, and the water, I swear, is worse than it was, and we're not getting, you know, good water. It's like, you got the wrong company. I didn't realize at the time.
Sure.
But it makes a difference.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Hey, are you still all against diet stuff?
Like diet?
You name it.
Diet Croke?
Diet Croke. Why don't you like Diet Coke?
I am... It's funny. You know, I watched Mom. I've told you for years. Mom ate non-processed natural stuff, butter, eggs.
Lived 187.
And she was thin, right?
Right.
And she had her mind, you know. So I always thought, well, you know what? Something to be said for that. Plus, I always think if I'm drinking something and there's a sweet flavor to it and it was created in a laboratory instead of grown in a field.
Uh-huh.
I prefer grown in the field.
Okay.
I see the look in your eyes. I know you're going to stomp on my thoughts here, but...
You know me so well.
I'm so afraid of chemical stuff.
But you're the same guy that told me years ago that when you chew gum, gum will help with your appetite and not make you so thirsty. And you're pulling out a pack of gum. Give me that pack of gum.
I care.
Give me that pack. Give it to me now.
I'm too small to fight you.
Okay.
I'm too old.
Let's see what's in this gum.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, because
here's
what's in gum nowadays, okay?
Oh, no.
And you know I set you up because...
I know you did. I could tell.
Gum originally came from tree sap.
I know you better than your wife.
And, yeah, right. Today's gum is basically the same material that is in your tires, buddy. You are chewing plastic. You're chewing flavored plastic.
So we're recycling and being healthy and good for the
environment. I cannot even say some of the words. Styrene rubber butyl. Styrene, hold on. Polyurethane polysorbate tylene. Polyvinyl acetate.
That sounds delicious.
If you're chewing gum, buddy, you're chewing flavored plastic, but you don't want to drink a Diet Coke because there might be something sweet in there to hurt you.
Oh, you scared me now.
When we get back from break, I'm going to tell you a gum that you can chew
safely.
It says
it contains bioengineered food ingredients.
I'm sure it does. You listen to the Inside Outside guys. Stick around for more. WTKA WLBY WJR.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. I want to remind everybody, a good friend of the show and somebody who we just love as a business as well is having a Black Friday promotion, McFarland Painting. They legitimately will give you $500 off anything that's quoted at $3,500 or more. That's a ton of money. What's the percentage on that? 16%, 20%? I don't know, whatever. 20%.
Don't ask me to do math, pal.
I know. I shouldn't either. Neither one of us should. But it's a big deal, and you just got to book something by the end of the month.
There are so many of our team partners, and you and I know we feel bad for our children. We really do. It's so hard to buy for mom or dad. But there are a ton of things our team partners do. McFarland Painting, bring an electrician. And when's the last time your mom or dad or you have had your electrical system checked out at your house? When's the last time you had your HVAC system checked out or your furnace tune-up? Amnesty air duct cleaning. Okay, yeah. Are your parents living in a house that's never had their air ducts cleaned? Those are great gifts.
You know, I was had the chance to co-present with an attorney, John Capitan, really sharp fair housing guy, this past week, and he was listening to us last week talk about Amnesty, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "I didn't realize that." He said, "I got to get my ducts cleaned and sealed."
Yeah,
but it's that age old thing. Out of sight, out of mind, like you always say, right? You don't think about it.
You and I have said it. When air duct cleaning first came around, you and I both, you know, looked at it with a skeptical eye.
Smoke and mirrors
is what we first, had. But
20 years ago.
It didn't take us very long, you know, to realize all houses need their duct cleaned. And then you hear this statement, "Well, I got a new house. I don't need it cleaned." You need it cleaned worse than most people need it cleaned.
Steve Dickinson, one of the owners at Amnesty, will talk about some of the stuff he's pulled out of new houses, and I built just enough to realize everything he says is probably very true.
Right. Before we went to break, I was chastising you for chewing all those synthetic rubbers that you do.
Synthetic rubbers.
That you call gum. But there is a product out there called Simply Gum. And Simply Gum is made from tree sap. It's a fruit somewhere or something that grows on a tree where it originally came from, that we originally chewed for a long time. I got to tell you, bud. When I saw that article about all those different rubbers, I mean, it's basically in gum, most gums.
You understood why.
I've never been a chew. Yeah, I understand why you have that tick. but I've never been a big gum fan, and that just makes me even less. And if I'm going to chew gum, I'm going to chew this. The older I get, especially, I know you're the same way. The older I get, the more aware I am of what I put into my body.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, the exercise thing, my wife, Chuck, you'll appreciate this. The other night, we're sitting at home. It's probably 8:30 at night. And she looks at me and goes, "You want to go for a walk?" I know. I gave her the same look. I said, "Who are you?"
Yeah, to the bathroom, maybe the refrigerator.
But she, I mean, she's pickleballs like crazy. Yep, so she stays healthy that way. But she said to me, "Kind of haven't played pickleball in a few days. I need to get out and do some exercise." And we're realizing that as we're getting older. And I always tell you about a friend I respect so much in North Carolina. His name is Tom. I've known Tom forever. Tom's 87. And I'll go there and say, "Tom, what do you want me to do?" "Nothing, Ken. Because if you do it, I can't do it when you leave." He knows how important it is to get up every day and get something done.
And like Maria, the more you do, the more you want to do.
Right.
We came home yesterday, my son and I, from an active few hours. And I went in, had lunch, sat down for half an hour, and then went back out because it was a nice day and washed three vehicles.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's not hard work.
Your freezing.
But really, you know, it's just like you said, just stay active. Just keep the blood going, you know.
Yeah, I cleaned out all of our beds this week, all of our beds in front. And it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, cutting out. We had a lot of hostas we cut down and just making
good for you.
Getting ready for the cold weather. Hopefully a lot of people out there are ready for the cold weather.
I think I'm running my mower one more time to cut up leaves.
That's me too.
I've raked three times now, and I need to rake one more time, but I'll probably still mow one more time.
I don't rake. I mean, I will rake if I have to, but the leaf blower, I got a powerful leaf blower. I really do.
Where do you blow them into, the pond?
The woods.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. See, I can't. I'd have to go way too far. It's just, and you know what? I rake when they're wet. Because then they're not blowing all over. They're easy. It's a no-brainer. It's quick.
It makes sense.
Jeez, crazy. Hey, John McFarland told us, we love trends, right? Everybody's going inside the house. They're getting ready to entertain. You mentioned electricians. We'll have to talk about that, too. But people are starting to take their trims back to natural wood tones as a complement to whatever paints on the walls. And he says, never put stark white on the walls. Put a warm tone.
Yep.
And the neat thing I always liked about an unpainted wood trim was that if after 20 years you hate it, you can then easily paint that wood.
Yep.
You know?
Just change it.
Worst case scenario, change it. Yep. So I like that tip from John that people are doing that. Natural wood, light oak.
Yes. Yes.
Maple.
Hey, if you know your family's at home right now and they're not doing anything, do us a favor. Give them a call and tell them to tune in to the Inside Outside Guys and listen to the next two segments. We're going to have Kyle Svoboda, who's the Plainfield Township Police Chief. Kyle's been on with us many times. It's been too long since we've had him on.
Way too long.
Way too long.
Did you make him mad or?
No. It's us. We've been so busy with these remotes that we said we're going to stop, not stop doing, but slow down, be in the studio more, because that's what our listeners are telling us they want. So we're going to listen to them. But he is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to keeping your family safe. And he's going to have some statistics like he always does of the amount of fires that we've had, the amount of deaths that we have, what have caused those fires here in the state of Michigan. And it's something as a family that you want to listen to, because it's advice that without a doubt could help save your life.
Big
you
time.
Said you're aware of 4 fires already.
This past week. Yeah, I'll chat about those when Kyle comes on with us. You know, the electrical thing, which ties into fires.
Okay.
We had a listener say every time the stove and the microwave are run in the kitchen at the same time, you know, the fridge turns on.
Yep.
A breaker kicks.
Yep.
Should be called an electrician. And
yep.
It goes right back to what you just said. Heck yes.
Heck yeah. You know, things come loose. I mean, in your house, fasteners come loose, you know, drywall cracks. Wires can come loose as well over time.
Yeah.
And there's a saying in the industry, the electrical industry and the fireman industry, that loose wires cause fires. So it is so worth having a professional like Metro Electric,
oh, gosh.
Oak Electric,
PM,
Bratcher Electric, PM Technologies come in for a couple $100 and inspect your house and make sure that your electrical system is safe. When you flip a switch and you hear an arc or you see a spark,
scary.
That is scary. And people just tend to go, oh, that's normal.
Don't ignore
it. It's not normal.
No. And you know what's funny? We've mentioned this before. We're using more electricity than we've ever used.
Sure, and paying more for it.
Oh, it's more efficient. That's 90%. That's 80%. So I got to be using less. And the truth is, despite all that, we're using more.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. And ghost loads are a big part of that.
Huge.
You know, it's funny because when we started the show years ago, I remember talking about ghost loads. But now we have ghost loads for every time, every charger that's out there, every whatever you have plugged into your outlet to make it smell better, your chargers, your Alexas,
those digital clocks. How many of those are in the house?
They all draw power.
They do. And, well, yeah, okay. I won't get mad. I also, later on, if you'll indulge me, want to talk about return on investment, because I am seeing so many ad campaigns where if you buy our product, it'll pay for itself. And I sit there and I go, okay, I got to examine this, get a pen and paper, play with it, and go, no way on the good Lord's green earth
right. Is
that thing going to pay for itself.
Right.
It may operate more efficiently. It may cost you a little less to maintain the same standard over time, but it ain't going to pay for it. So let's chat about that later on.
We'll do that later. Let's also talk, because people often, every once in a while, you and I will get a letter from a listener that have used one of our team partners, and they're not happy for whatever reason.
That almost never happens.
It really rarely does happen. So we'll do this in the second hour. We'll talk about what we do in those situations when we get those, okay?
Good idea.
So stick around for more. We're going to talk to Kyle Svoboda, who is a West Side Fire Chief. He's going to tell you how to stay safe in your home in the heating season. Stick around for more with the Inside Outside Guys. WTKAWLBYWJR. By any chance, do we have our guest on the air yet? Not yet.
Here.
Oh, he is there. Hey, thank you, Parker.
Good morning. Thank you, Kyle.
How you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. How many times in your life has your last name been sung like that?
Well, probably a few that I don't know about, but this is probably the first time today that I've heard
of
it.
Are we really? We hear your name, we just think Kyle Svoboda.
It was in honor and deference to your expertise and
knowledge. Yes, it was. How you been, my friend?
Thank
it's been
you.
While since we talked to you.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. I'm doing well. I'm enjoying the west side of Michigan. It's sunny today, so it's a good day.
There's a rumor out there that the Inside Outside Guys are going to be coming to the west side of Michigan. So when we do that, we'll definitely have to get together and get you live in studio at that point.
I was just over there, too. I should have stopped and said hi.
You're right. You should have.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Kyle, do us a favor, buddy. Tell our listeners what you do and why you are on with us, please.
absolutely. So I'm a fire chief in Plainfield Township. What I do is I work with a lot of the state organizations on preventing fires from becoming fatalities. And so my biggest role has been the data collection and analysis and providing education out to the communities in our state and sometimes out to the nation.
And that's exactly why we love to have you on with the Inside Outside Guys. So tell us the numbers so far in 2025, please.
So far in this year, we are still kind of holding steady about the average number. So we're at 82 fires with 95 deaths that have occurred in those. So if you've done the numbers there, we've had a couple of fires that have had multiple people die in them, unfortunately.
Now, when you say that, what area are you talking about?
All of Michigan. So the data numbers are including the UP, the Lower Peninsula, Detroit, Grand Rapids, all the above.
Is there a reoccurring theme with the majority of these fires? Are most of them caused by what?
So we do have themes. Smoking is still the number one cause, and it's not necessarily somebody falling asleep with a cigarette. It could be discarding of ashes. It could be them actually falling asleep with them as well. Smoking on oxygen is kind of a reoccurring theme as well. And age groups, believe it or not, a lot of people that are above the age of 45 and up to about 80 seem to be our number one age group that's our passing away in fires.
So we're getting stupid as we get older. I'm talking about Ken and I, which we kind of suspected anyway. That's unbelievable. You said smoking with oxygen use?
Okay. Now, I'm going to stop you right there, okay? You are a man, and I'm being honest, who does not understand addiction. You've never had an addiction issue whatsoever. But that's how you know it's a disease, that people are addicted and they're smoking while they're on oxygen, because people who aren't sick don't do that kind of stuff. It is unbelievable. Jeez.
Yeah, it's a very sad, sad state of affairs. And, you know, with that, we also see those that have some sort of a disability as well passing away in fires, just because they don't necessarily have the right plan that fits their needs, too. So it's really... it's a pretty significant trend that we've never known before. And like you guys said, it's the battle that we need to fight.
You know, in the last, I was telling Ken when we came in this morning, seriously, this week I was in an apartment complex where they had two fires, one of which was huge. One that day I was there.
22 units you said it ruined?
23. My wife's a high school counselor right here in the Flint area. And in the last 2 weeks, two of her students' homes have burned down. Luckily, no one was hurt, but the homes were lost at Christmas. It just breaks your heart.
It's terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Are budgets affecting, because you mentioned Flint and mentioned Detroit and mentioned the inner city. Budgets are tight, a lot of these cities. Does that affect not so much the amount of fires, but how those fires get taken care of?
That's a good question.
Yeah, you know, it very well could. It really depends on the community, what they have. I always tell people as a fire chief, you know, my elected officials have determined the amount of money that they can ask from their constituents, and that has a direct impact on the level of services that can be provided. So it really does have an impact. But I'll also say the fire service is good at adapting to a certain point, and also very good at being innovative in the services that they also provide. So it kind of is a double-edged sword. We do need money in the fire service to run, but I also think we have ways to be more innovative in what we're also doing too. So that's being a forward thinker in the service that we can provide to the community.
Yes. You're seeing new technology that also, I'm sure, helps fight these fires as well, I would think.
Yeah, there's new technology. There's better equipment that you can purchase. You know, bottom line, you still need boots on the ground. You still need a certain number of members on the ground. But like in Grand Rapids, we're growing a lot. So a lot of the outer communities that surround me have become full time. So that's reduced the response times for them to come help us as well. So like I said, there's other ways to get the staffing that you need in my communities around me. But they also are putting money to make that happen.
Let me ask you, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but some of the new codes are proposing. Historically, we have to put smoke detectors just outside of sleeping rooms. Now a lot of codes are saying we also want smoke detectors in those sleeping rooms. Do you think something like that would actually help save some lives?
And I really appreciate you bringing that up. When I went to the fire academy and became a firefighter, it was like 2001 or so. They were saying a room could be well involved in fire. It took about, let's say, 25 to 30 minutes. And so it gave you plenty of time to get out of your house. And about 10 years ago, we did research in the fire service, and we found that 20, 25 minutes was down to about 3.5 to 5 minutes for that room to be fully immersed in fire and not attainable. So that was the code started to begin to change of how many
Why?
smoke alarms and detectors you needed. And then I'll
Why do
tell
you
you
think that is,
today,
Kyle? I'm sorry.
it's the contents that are in the structure. It's everything's made out of plastics and synthetics. And we're introducing batteries today, and I hope we're going to talk about that on one of the segments. But that 3.5 to 5 minutes is now seconds. So it's very important to catch those fires extremely early to give people time to get out.
Wow. Oh, let's talk about it, because you had mentioned it to me when we were texting a couple weeks ago, the issues that homeowners are having. And this is probably an issue that no one thinks they're bringing something into their house that could possibly hurt their family, but it sounds like that's exactly what they're doing
What's the
today.
battery thing?
So lithium-ion batteries are about in everything that we own that has some sort of power to them. And lithium-ion, when it's in its solid state, it's very good. But anytime it could be damaged, whether it be from mechanical dropping it or simply just using a different charger than what it came with, it could damage it. It becomes very volatile. And so we're seeing fires that, when the batteries explode, they literally might explode and shoot down a hallway 15 feet, and you've got multiple fires that may have started. Or they're off-gassing. So like
From a
these scooters
computer
that
or a cell phone or what?
These aren't batteries
could
that,
be.
these aren't pagers and phones that Mossad had a hold of at all.
No, they definitely are not. No,
These are regular
these are what they
batteries.
these are regular batteries. So interestingly enough, in Plainfield Township, that is one of the number one causes of fires overall in our community, is lithium-ion batteries. And it ranges from the small batteries in the phones to could be drill batteries to even car batteries and some of the electrical vehicles that we have. So it's an emerging trend that we're very in tune to. We're trying to figure out how best to manage it and provide the education to the community on them.
I mean, this is something that I look at continued education. This is continued education for you guys, because if you went back 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, this wasn't an issue at all, correct?
Correct. And I'm going to be honest with you, as an investigator 10 years ago, I remember the first lithium-ion battery fire I ran. And it was, believe it or not, it was in an iPhone. It was one of the first iPhones that came out. And someone just had an aftermarket charger, and we didn't think anything of it back then. It was just kind of like, oh, something went bad. And now we're really looking at it of if the charger doesn't come with a device, don't use it. If it doesn't have a listing, a UL listing on it, don't use it. Don't bring it in your house. And then be diligent and have situational awareness of where you're storing the devices when you are having them, just charging normally. Don't have them in the way of an exit way. Have them somewhere else, or charge them out in the garage or something. But don't do it inside the house.
Interesting.
Seriously, really? I
That
mean, no,
absolutely.
You're amazed, aren't
well,
you?
I am, because I violate that his advice all the time. I don't want to. I don't want to be stupid. So, are you talking about computers and iPhones when you're saying this?
All the above.
iPads.
So, the best way you can manage the smaller devices is by using the charger that it comes with. And when you're done with it, it's charged, unplug it. It doesn't need to just stay charging over and over and over. So those are the smaller devices, the computer devices. And then be careful with stuff, I mean, just because it doesn't look like it's damaged on the outside doesn't mean that by dropping it or, doing all that stuff, inadvertently to it, doesn't mean that it's not damaged. So we actually had a battery fire in one of our fire trucks. And just because it was moving around and bouncing around in a cabinet, and it got damaged, and we pulled into the station, and it was off gassing, and it was on fire. So
Oh
we're
my
not even
gosh.
attuned to it to the fire service completely yet.
Wow. We are speaking to Kyle Svoboda, who is the fire chief for the Plainfield Fire Department on the West Side, a wealth of knowledge. We're going to go to break. When we get back, Kyle, let's talk about how homeowners can help keep themselves safe when they have a fire, help
Absolutely.
prevent a fire. Listen to the Inside Outside guys. Good morning and welcome back to the Inside Outside Guys. Again, laughing and learning 24/7 at theinsideoutsideguys.com, the Inside Outside Guys on Facebook. Just for some people who may have sent us some recent emails, just over the last couple of days, we had a hiccup. We weren't receiving emails for a couple of days. We have that hiccup because of our crack technical staff here at WJR. We have that email situation figured out. So if you have sent us an email recently and you have not got a response, please send another one. It will never, ever, ever happen again, right, Chuck?
I would not say that. I see too many problems with digital stuff.
Right now we're talking to a phenomenal guest who's just a wealth of information to help keep anyone listening right now safe in their home, especially during the heating season. That's Mr. Kyle Svoboda, who is the police chief for Plainfield Township Fire Department on the west side of the state. We first met Kyle, I would say probably seven, eight years ago, because they have a phenomenal website, a Facebook page, that is constantly putting out information on how to keep people safe in the state of Michigan. So we reached out to Kyle. He came on. He's come on ever since. It's been a while, but we're happy to have him back with us, Mr. Kyle Svoboda. Kyle, before you went to break, you're telling us about these battery situations, and you said it's pretty much any battery out there is doing this, the lithium-ion batteries?
Yes, any lithium-ion batteries. Everyone's going away from the old, you know, AA batteries and C batteries, and they're using lithium-ions just because they last longer, and you can recharge them. And so most of the items in your home nowadays have used lithium-ion batteries in some sort. Even smoke alarms have lithium-ion batteries in them, believe it or not.
So. Okay. Wow. We appreciate that. People be safe when it comes to that. Now, Kyle, talk about if a fire happens. If you're, let's say it's 2 a.m, you hear the fire alarm go off somewhere in your house. As homeowners, what should be our first thought? What should be some of the first things we do? Of course, call 911. But after that.
Yeah. So the first thing I would recommend is sleeping with your doors closed. The reason we have so many alarms in your home is so that one of them will wake you up that's close. And we also recommend interconnected somehow, so the one in your room will also go off and wake you up. But if you're sleeping with your doors closed and the alarms are going off, if you open up the door, check the door, feel for heat, if there's any thick black smoke, we are recommending that you actually close your door and go to a window and exit out the window if you're on the first level of the window, or have a ladder to get down if you're on a second or third floor window. And if you don't have a way of getting out, that's when we're suggesting to stay at the window. And the fire department arrives, they'll get a ladder to get you down. But the big key component there is what color is that smoke. If it is black smoke, the chances of you actually getting underneath that smoke and going to the main door to get out is very low nowadays.
That makes perfect sense. You know, you'll see a lot of movies and TVs where people be TV shows where people be walking through fires or running through fires, and my skeptical self goes, "No way, no way," because I ran back into a fire years ago, and I was only in the house for literally 5 seconds, if that. And I remember the black smoke. There's no way to get away from that, so don't even try. And my wife, who's always been a person that likes to help women who are in trouble, she always used to use this example. She would say, you know, when you get on a airline and they tell you when the mask comes down, always secure yourself first. And that's great advice in any emergency situation. If you're an adult, always make sure you're safe first, then go take care of whoever else may be in there, or let the professionals do that. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, because what we're finding is because these fires are growing so fast, what it's doing is it's actually sucking the oxygen out of the air, because fire needs oxygen too. So without you even noticing it, you're going unresponsive when you're trying to save somebody else. And then you're not doing them any good either, because you're not able to make the right decisions because your brain needs oxygen. So there's a lot of science behind it as well to support that. You know, don't think that you're going to be a hero to save somebody by going in, because sometimes it's just not practical. It's not realistic.
Yeah, that makes sense. Kyle, how about the idea that people are going to be cooking a lot of kitchen fires originate? What would you recommend people do in their kitchens to hopefully avoid tragedy?
Yeah, so there's a few things that you can do. You know, preventative side is don't have stuff laying around the oven and everything. Like you've got the handles on the oven. That's not for to hang stuff on, like the towels and everything. That's to open the oven. So we recommend not using it for that. And then making sure, like, when you are cooking, you have that clean space around your oven as well. So move stuff away at least a foot. So if something does happen, it stays isolated to the top of the oven or within the oven itself, not catching the stuff that's around it on fire. That's half the battle. And then if you're using like a pot or something, you have a flare up, have a cover that you can put on top of that. Absolutely do not throw water on the stove, especially if you're cooking with greases, because that will make it worse. And then they do have devices that can go up into your hood that act as a fire extinguisher that you can also utilize that has been found to be effective.
I will share, Kyle, what is the name of the Facebook page that I've been seeing?
It's Michigan Fire Inspector Society
Okay.
or My Prevention, MI Prevention.
I will share both of those with our audience. So look for that, the Inside Outside Guys Facebook page. And Kyle, thank you so much. We're going to have you on again soon. There's never enough time. We
Sounds good.
appreciate you very much, my friend.
All right, looking for you on the west side.
Thank you,
Thanks, guys.
Kyle. Stay well. We'll be there.
Thank you. Kyle Svoboda, Police Chief for Plainfield Fire Department. We'll take your calls after the break. 800-859-0957.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. 800-859-0957.
57.
Oh, I said
9,
didn't I?
7.
No wonder nobody's calling. So 800-859-0957. 57.
I think. Yeah, well, you're making me think about it now, but our number is not getting forwarded because of technology, but we'll have that figured out, the 888 guys number, by next week. We'll have it back.
I hate technology.
Me too. Me too. Let's talk to a very patient Hank from Bay City.
Hank stayed on the line.
Hank really.
Ken
yes.
owes you, Hank.
Thank you, Hank. Are you there, bud?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How can we help you?
I'm calling with a unique situation. I work at a church in Bay City, and we have a flowing font, a baptismal font. It has an upper pool that's about 12 to 18 inches deep, and that flows into a lower pool, which again is about 18 inches deep. We cleaned it out. We drained it and cleaned it out last week, and I noticed in the process of the cleaning that some of the grout or the caulk that they had used probably, I'm not exaggerating, maybe 15, 20 years ago, the last time it was done, seemed to be coming loose. And sure enough, when we refilled it last week, it started a slow leak into the floor and into the carpet. So we immediately drained it again. And there's a place up here in the Saginaw area called Sunshine Pools that they are recommended to us to help us with our font maintenance and so forth. So I talked to him, and he recommended we put caulk all around the seam, 100% silicone. And so we did that yesterday. Our maintenance guy did that yesterday. The gentleman at the pool place said we should wait 24 hours to let that silicone really take hold and seal. But I'm also hearing 48 hours, 72 hours. I just don't want this to be a bigger headache. I'm just wondering what your opinion on water actually being put in that font, in that pool, and sitting against that silicone. What would your judgment be about that?
So it's a heated space?
The water is normally cold, and then it's a heated space in terms of being inside, yes. But then the water's cold, and then we turn it on with a heater when we have baptism so that it's warm like bath water.
But you caulked a heated space, a device that's, you know, ambient temperature inside.
Yes, definitely.
Now, you said pure silicone. Was it what color was it when it came out of the tube? Was it white or clear?
It's clear.
Good. Good. That means it's a better silicone. And honestly, 24 hours, if it's in a room that's, you know, room temperature room, if that makes sense, it should be cured by
now. The furnace keeps about 70 degrees, so it's just like a house. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with subjecting it to water. We do it outside after 12 hours, you know, in worse conditions all the time, if it's a quality silicone.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to wait and fill it tonight, so it's going to be more like 20 hours by the time.
Well, there you go.
Like more like 56 hours. So I just wanted to be safe so that we've got a pool that's going to work for us.
Now, do you still have, so you still have a lot of exposed grout lines in that pool?
No, the caulk, you know, we cleaned out what we could, and then it's been covered up by all the 100% silicone at this point.
Because periodic application of a good sealer can make a heck of a difference, and those sealers are silicone and silicone-based as well.
What is the Flex Seal, that stuff you see on TV? I think that's a silicone. They got
that's like, an acrylic, I think. Is it acrylic? I don't think it's pure.
Okay. Okay, but, and they can supposedly spray that on.
Oh, Flex, F-L-E-X. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the product that we've used for 40 years. Yeah, that stuff, they say you just put it in a wet environment.
Exactly. Well, good luck, Hank. Let us know how it works out for you, okay?
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks, Hank. God bless you.
God bless.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you as well, sir. You as well. Let's talk to Dennis in Wixom. Good morning, Dennis. You're on with the guys.
Morning, guys. I have a dilemma that I need your advice on. Started out that we had a leak in the basement, water coming under the tiles, and I called in a foundation company. They gave me a quote to put in an interior, you know, where they tear up your floor.
Interior drainage system. Yep.
And talked about putting something on the wall. So when I started taking some paneling down, lo and behold, in a partition, we found out there was a leaky water pipe with a pinhole leak that had been who knows how long. We got that fixed, got the water cleaned up, no more leaks. So it wasn't coming from outside. I never had any water leaking in my basement before. The only problem is my sump has been dry for about, 3 months.
Good.
Foundation company took moisture readings on the walls, said I had some high moisture readings. I'm inclined to wait and see what happens. They want to go ahead and put this system in, and that's where my dilemma is.
Okay, we're going to be very blunt with you, okay?
Okay.
Don't do it.
Don't put the inside system in.
No.
If you don't need it.
If you're not seeing water, of course they want to do it because they sold a job and they don't want to cancel one. But if you're not seeing water interior once you repair that, why would you? And that would be my thing then now.
Well, that's kind of what some friends of mine have been recommending too. So that's why I wanted to get your opinion.
Now, if you are reading high humidity down there, especially at the walls, you can put a clear latex sealer on the walls and floor to reduce how much moisture comes through there and lower the humidity in that space just by doing that.
Absolutely. Go outside, make sure the grade's going away from your house, seal any cracks that might get water down there between the house and any slabs you may have. But, you know, what years ago I was at a job site that the brick were cracking, step cracking like crazy, and they had multiple bids for a company from companies to come in and reinforce the foundation.
Sure.
Once I tore down the brick, it was a root that got between the foundation and the brick and took the brick out. It didn't need any foundation
work was great.
Off, but she had multiple people tell her she needed foundation work.
Well, that's one of the reasons when you and I recommend the few foundation repair companies that we do. We're very fussy about those because that initial diagnosis is critical.
You know, when all you have is a hammer, Chuck.
Everything looks like a nail.
You guys don't think the dry sump has been an issue then, huh?
My sump is dry, and I love it.
That's a great thing. Worst case scenario, you may have some odors come up through it periodically when they're bone dry, but, I mean, it's been a dry
summer and fall.
Yeah, it's a small bad thing to happen in a great circumstance.
I would have thought some water would have seeped into the outside weeping tiles and drained in there by now, but you're right. It has been a very dry summer.
If it doesn't, and of course a lot of it will dissipate just through the air too. You know, and there is air moving through that pipe, so that might account for part of your humidity.
Yeah, but just go
so
buy
it. Your guys' recommendation is don't do it, huh?
Don't do it.
That's the way I feel.
That was
I agree.
It was a theme song, Don't Do It, Beretta, I think it was. But anyway, go buy a digital, go buy a digital humidistat or a digital thermometer at your local hardware store and just set it down there. Maybe a couple on each side of the each side of the basement and take a look at what it reads over
time. It's humidity only. It's not active water. I certainly wouldn't do it.
And put a fan down there. Even if it's a box fan, just keep the air moving. Everyone should have that going in their basement. So
thanks, guys. I appreciate your opinion.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Dennis. God bless you. Stay well.
Okay, so what do the guys do when they get a letter complaining about one of their team partners? How do the guys handle it? We'll talk about that when we get back from break and take any phone calls you may have. 800-859-0957.
800-859-0957. We'd love to hear from you in the balance of the show that we've got today. Ann Thomas is coming up at noon, right?
Women Who Lead, yes, sir.
And Ken and I were talking. We're going to do a show with just some of the great women that are part of the show. Crystal with family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Christine with Metro, and I don't want to leave anybody out. Amy, Basements Plus.
Yeah.
Tanya with Sparkle Blinds. Tiffany Buell.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, the list goes on. But we've got a lot of really great, talented, strong women that are part of the show that you probably aren't even aware of oftentimes.
That are part of the industry.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Most importantly, part of the show. No, I'm kidding.
There you go. How do you feel about the reviews that you see on the internet? How do you feel about the star ratings you see on the internet when it comes to service companies?
I am a world-class skeptic.
Me too.
You know how I am with digital. I believe if one person can create it, another can manipulate it, and another can correct that.
Yeah.
And I've just, and again, my kids shake their head because, you know, Dad, you're just old. I go, no.
Old curmudgeon.
I was at the forefront. I was in business when this stuff started, and I saw it, and I look at it like I look at a house. If I can build a house from scratch, I can rebuild the same house if something's done wrong.
Right.
And you can do the same thing if you're a digital programmer. So you show me that you've got all these 5-star ratings. On the one hand, it's cool. We know companies that really work hard to try thrill people and
yes,
get those.
They do.
But there's always a little bit of caution when I'm looking at that stuff with me and I'm looking at other things that I want to interact with them.
Yes.
People to people.
And we'll get periodic questions from homeowners that'll say, I'm looking at this company and they may not be a team partner, but they've got a couple of negative hits on their reviews, or they're not a member of the Better Business Bureau or whatever it is. And they ask us our opinion of that. And a good indicator of a quality company, you tell me what you think I'm wrong, is years in business.
That's a good start. I mean, yeah. It's a combination of things, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yes. But that's one of the first things I look for is years in business, which matters. It just matters.
It does. I mean, if you've grown and survived for decades, that says something about how you deal with the product. For one thing, product. If you're around for 20 years, you're not going to sell bad product. You're going to sell good stuff so you don't have to go back and fix it all the time.
Absolutely. The good companies. You're right. The good companies. Yep. And they're not going to be cheap.
No.
They're not going to be cheap because if they have to go back and fix it, someone needs to get paid for that.
Yep.
So we get that. Now, you and I, years ago when we started the Inside Outside Guys, we made a commitment to each other and homeowners that we wanted to find the best, not necessarily the biggest, but the best companies in Southeast Michigan that we felt that we could trust. And I remember you and I talking about it, that one of the first questions we have to ask ourselves is, would we let these people work in our own homes?
That's a great question.
It is. It is.
And if we say no, then like if you said no, I would say, why do you feel that way? And we would dialogue about it. Also, we'll ask the provider, and you can call any of them up and ask them, if we ask them this, what kind of warranty do you have? Is it in writing? What will you do if blank?
Yes.
You have a problem or somebody hates what you did or you feel you did a great job, but they still hate it, you know, because that happens too.
Yep. And a lot of times we'll get the answer, we'll just give them their money back. We don't want to fight with them. We don't deal. We just give them their money. We just give them their money back.
Yeah.
And then we have other answers that say, well, we'll take a look at it. We'll see if their complaint is legitimate. And then we'll negotiate from there, which is fine with us as well.
Exactly. As long as you don't ignore them. And you don't do bad work, you know, because that's another qualifier Ken and I look at. We go, it's so critical to have good quality value delivered by these companies job after job, and again, none of them are ever going to be perfect.
You're right. You're right.
You know, nobody, no company, no doctor, nobody's perfect.
You know, I just went on this hunt in Colorado, and you've heard me say this phrase a lot. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that complains. And I did great. My son and I both did great, but I could still find
stuff.
You
are starting to mature.
I am, yeah, after 60 years. But I could still find stuff that I didn't like about it. And that goes for anybody you deal with. Your favorite restaurant that you and your wife go to all the times. There are things that you would change if you could.
If you're looking for negatives, you'll find them.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Yeah. But one thing that's so important to you and I, which we try to educate and talk to our listeners about, is once you choose a company, trust them. Trust them. Give them a break. Give them second chances. All of that is better than the alternative, which is going to stress everybody out. So, for instance, let's say I'm just going to pick a company, MacFarlane Painting. We get so few. MacFarlane Painting probably does, in the teens, if not more, jobs for our listeners every year. Multiple jobs for our listeners every year. We don't get complaint letters about them.
No, we don't.
We don't. And if we got one, we would have to weigh it against all the positive that we get about that company.
Exactly.
As well. Because yeah. We will have listeners, and understand people, I remember one time someone said to me, I don't want to give you a deposit because I'm afraid I'm not going to get it back. And I said, ma'am, for every one time you've heard of a contractor being ripped off or a homeowner being ripped off by a contractor, I've been ripped off 5 times by a homeowner. And what I mean by that is they'll say, here's the check, wait to cash it. And then a few days later, it never clears. That happened to me a lot in my career. And it's part of the price of doing business. You and I understand that, Chuck.
It is.
But
real.
As a homeowner, once you choose a company, trust them. And it comes down to the place where you send us a letter and expect us, which we are not going to do, negotiate it for you or try to help you. We will send your letter to the owner and make them aware of it every time. And at that point, we normally never hear anything about it. They usually take care of it or they work it out. We don't care. We just want it to be taken care of.
Yeah.
So when someone sends us a letter, we're going to compare it to the rest of their history, but ultimately let them make the final decision. Is that fair?
I agree with you. 100%. Yep.
You and I are not going to make that final decision. So 800-859-0957. Let's talk to Brad in Oxford. Good morning, Brad. You're on with the guys.
Good morning. Good morning. I had a new hot water heater put in about 6 months ago. After it was put in, we got a bunch of sort of gray graphite looking sediment came through, and we still get that from time to time. But the main problem is in the bathroom shower, it's a single pull Moen type fitting. The water temperature really fluctuates. You take a shower, it's hot, it's cold, it's hot, it's cold again. I'm wondering if the sediment build up in some kind of like anti-scald device, or if there's something that needs to be cleaned out to try to get the temperature more consistent. That's the only place it's doing it, is in that shower.
It's probably the faucet then. And the reality is, anytime you have any work done on old plumbing or older plumbing, you disturb junk in the pipes in the system. And, of course, it flows eventually to faucets. And a shower is classic, especially the more sophisticated ones today have very tiny little openings, orifices in them. The anti-scald, some of them have constant temperature controls in them, and they will be messed up by the presence of solids in those, you know, systems.
Okay, so is it a matter of pulling out that little cartridge and replacing that, or might
maybe
have to do more substantial?
Hopefully
that's it, and making sure, of course, the aerator and everything else. But if it's actually fluctuating in temperature, it's probably in the constant temperature / anti-scald portion of the controls. So if you do that, you should be able to cure the problem. You said the rest of the house is not having any of those issues.
Correct. Is that anti-scald device something that I can replace, or is that something that we need to have a plumber come in to clean out the fixture?
We don't know you well enough to say one way or the other, Brad. You might be the guy that screwed up.
Chuck could do it.
So
the cartridge, I've done the cartridges myself.
You might be able to do it. You know, if it was me, if you enjoy kind of doing that stuff anyway and discovering the system, then I would try it just very carefully so that you don't damage it and make it irreparable.
Okay. All right.
Let us know what happens with that, will you?
Yep, will do. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
We appreciate your call, Brad. Yeah. Hey, that's what the Inside Outside Guys do, not just here every weekend morning, but 24/7 at theinsideoutsideguys.com. If you've got a question, send us an email. We'll send you an answer every time. You listen to the Inside Outside Guys, WTKA, WLBY, WJR.
Welcome, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. 800-859-0957. You know, I'm thinking about Brad's call there. Most of those faucets today are pretty sophisticated. And if you take that cover plate off, you can access, you know, the body of the faucet.
Yep.
I tend to caulk those in, so if I took it off, I'd have to razor it first.
Okay.
And then, you know, take it off.
Now, why do you do that? Just an extra layer of protection?
Extra precaution so water can't, even though there's a gasket on the back of that escutcheon plate that lays against your ceramic tile or whatever your shower surface is, for me, extra precaution. It's a clear, pure silicone, so very little of it, so you don't see it. It doesn't look bad, but it's just one of those things I do. No water's going to get back there.
And we mentioned earlier in the show how things come loose.
Yeah.
Over time, things come loose. Just recently, I was giving the two grandkids a bath, and our tub to them is a swimming pool, so they absolutely loved it. But I noticed when I turned the cold water on, I had a leak on at the actual handle. The leak was leaking into the bathtub at the actual handle. It was really simple. I just popped this little bitty piece of plastic off the top of it and turned the screw at the top. Literally took 5 seconds. And anybody can do that. Anybody can do that if you see it leaking from the actual...
On the top of the top knob.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Easy to do.
Yeah.
To
was it hot or cold?
It's cold. It was the cold side. It was cold side. But I don't think a lot of people realize, Chuck, that they can set the heat of the faucet right there
the temperature.
At the faucet.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Most people don't know that.
Yeah, they have the scald protection allows you to adjust, you know, how much hot is coming in when you've got the mixer on. And again, if they get blocked up and plugged up, that can be defective. But there is a little thermostat in there that you can adjust.
Yep.
With Brad's situation, he said it fluctuates. So that means it's real good at one point and then it's bad at another. So it's probably a faulty thermostat or pressure valve or I assume the installation's good.
Your home, 2000 you said you built your home?
Yep, 99, yeah, we started.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of things are you noticing 26, 27 years later? That may be wearing out, because my house was built in 2002, so very similar. That may be wearing out over time.
I mean, we replaced the furnace, as you know.
Yep.
Sump pump's still good, even though I have a brand new one sitting next to it ready to go.
Yep. And you don't get, your sump pump does not turn on very often,
no.
So you don't have a need for a backup system, do you?
Yeah. I have a really nice one sitting there, but like I said, you're right, it's not hooked up. We put a new roof on it. And we've gotten some squeaks in the frame, you know, in the floor, in places, over 26 years. Not much else, really.
When's the last time you poked your head up into your attic?
Probably 2 years ago now, when I had the roof done, a year and a half, two and a half.
And why did you do it then?
Just to get a sense, you know, I had originally built and spec'd the house, so I knew what should have been up there.
Sure.
But you just, you know, who knows? And we have ridge vents, so I have had concerns that hopefully nothing had gotten in there. I didn't think anything had, and based on a visual inspection, nothing had.
So when you built your house, did you do anything different because it was your house?
I mean, other than doing things personally that I might have subbed out.
I mean code issues.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think so.
Good. That's a good answer. Yeah.
No, I've rarely been one, you know, I've always slightly overwired kitchens.
Yep.
I told you we've always used heavier drywall on ceilings and exterior walls, mm-hmm. but I did that on every house we ever built.
Right.
Exterior drains, we did that on every house. So I'm just trying to mentally work through your the answer to your question. And I don't think we did anything differently that I wouldn't have done if I built your house for you.
Okay. And I'm just wondering, because we get a lot of questions about that. You know, my house is fill in the blank years old. Yeah. Should I replace my AC? Should I replace my thermos?
Yeah.
Should I replace some faucets, smoke detectors, you name it?
Yeah.
And honestly, we had one recently, lady said her furnace was 33 years old. Should she replace it? And I don't like spending other people's money. And my response to that email is, if your budget allows it, if it's not going to hurt you financially, I would replace it at 33 years old.
That's fair advice. And I like the way you said it. If the budget allows it, if money's tight, leave it alone.
I used to say to people all the time, you have better places in your house you can spend money. Because they'd go, well, what if I did that over there? What if I did this? And I'd go, that's not going to be worth it. And you have other places in your house where the money would be better spent. And they always went, you're absolutely right.
I think people do a lot of that type of stuff that they don't have to do. You know, it's funny you mentioned faucets. I buy good faucets. When I build the house, when I replace, you know, I'll pay extra. A lock set on a door.
Yes.
I will buy higher quality. I might pay twice as much for some of that stuff, but it never goes bad.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever had
toilets.
One.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
So there's a lot to be said for, as far as I'm concerned, for investing a little more on the front side with some of that stuff. I told you the story about my plumber cutting a faucet that I had bought in half and showing me the error of my ways.
You were educated at that minute. You were educated.
Oh,
right?
I'll never forget it. I could still draw that cross section. It was a terrible casting, even though it was gorgeous on the outside.
It was plastic and junk on the
inside.
It
was junk.
Interesting.
It was junk, and that's why it was cheap.
There are times where I go look for something, and I will purposely try to find something that's more expensive because I don't want to buy anything cheap, and it's hard to do.
You hate to waste your money.
You hate to waste your money, but if it's something I'm looking for, whether let's say it's a we get a question quite a bit. What's the best dehumidifier out there? I don't know. The one I have works pretty darn well, and to say okay, I'm going to go find an expensive one. Isn't made in America. Is that fair to say? So I can spend more money for it, but am I really getting a value on it? You, through your building over the years, you know what the better faucets are.
I thought I did.
Right. You're exactly. The better toilets are. The better sinks are. Absolutely. Yeah. Have you gotten your wife a snotty sink yet?
In the kitchen, yes.
Did you?
Did I show you that? Oh, yeah. I replaced it last year.
You might have. 800-859-0957. We get back from break. We'll take your phone calls. Phone lines are open. And we'll also talk to Ken in Washington Township. You're listening to the Inside Outside Guys, laughing and learning on WTKA, WLBY, and WJR.
Welcome back, everybody. We better go right to the phone lines, partner, don't you think?
Yeah, we'll be talking to John in just a second, but let's talk to Ken in Washington Township. How you doing, Ken? You're on with the guys.
Good morning, guys. Ken and Chuck, I'm glad to talk to you guys. I got a couple quick questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, bud.
Sorry about the interlay. Anyway, who would you recommend to do a garage door, a tune-up? I need the rubber replaced on it and on the bottom of the doors. And I don't know, should it be rubber and vinyl?
Like rubber's been great. It seems to conform to other, like if you have slabs that maybe move a little bit, rubber seems to conform real well. We actually have a really good garage guy. Now, we talked earlier, Chuck, of how we find our people. And we found this gentleman about 5-6 months ago. He fit our criteria. We have started referring him to some of our listeners, and we've got nothing. I talked to a Mr. Bantwell recently that used them in Clarkston. He absolutely loved them. So he did a great job. And when we get feedback like that, we love to refer him. So the company we're going to refer to you is called Overhead Doors and More.
Okay, let me. Okay.
and they service all of Southeast Michigan. And the phone number is 810-553-5212.
Too very good. Anybody I should ask for specific, or just, you know, whoever answers?
Tell them we told them to call. Told you to call. That'll hopefully clear the path.
Yep. And
so that you guys could write.
We want to know about your experience, so please let us know, okay?
Okay, I got a couple questions from that. Another question. On the door, I got a Colpay door that's insulated now, okay? And the one I had before was not insulated. And about 3 weeks ago, you were talking about with the insulated doors, sometimes you need to have a different door opener because, you know, because the insulated ones are heavier. So, I mean, and the one I've got right now is a it's a little old. It's a Craftsman three-quarter horse. And I'm wondering, you know, if that's a marginal thing. He could probably figure that out, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. A good installer, if they installed it properly, they have the right spring specified for the weight of that door. So the spring is doing 99% of the work anyway.
So important.
Yeah.
Okay, because right now, when I open it, I could tell I need it too much because it kind of crinkles. You know what I'm saying? It kind of makes a noise. Okay,
most
anyway.
Garage doors make noise.
Oh, yes. I understand that. But now I right by the garage door open, on the ceiling wall, on the drywall, I got a crack, okay? And it's about 20 feet long. And the only place it's not separated yet, but it's getting to, by the door opener, it's getting to that point. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So what I want to know, you guys, what would you recommend?
I'd go up in the attic and make sure those rafters and trusses are sharing the load because your opener and your door are connected to maybe one, maybe two ceiling cords up there. So if that load is transferred from cord to cord or rafter to rafter properly, then when there's a point load exerted by the door opening or closing,
flex,
it'll be shared rather than move, right, like Ken suggested.
Okay, yeah. When I went up there and I looked, cause we're right by the garage door opener, you know, I took like a hacksaw, a real thin thing, and I could push it up through that hole, you know, push it, and it could go up to the, you know, through the ceiling thing, okay? And when I went in the attic, I looked at it, and it's close to the 2x6s that are up there.
Sure.
And when it goes, the 2x4s that go across, they go across, and they're every like 16 and a half inches wide. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I mean, you know, so it's just a matter of, you know, kind of, I don't know. See, I'm not
well,
an expert on that.
No matter how strong it is, every time you open and shut that door, you could have the slightest amount of flexing as it opens and shuts. So that may be a tough crack to get rid of, but it's a garage. I mean, I wouldn't worry too much about it being up there. But unfortunately, my friend, we have one more call we have to get to before the end of the show. So did we answer your questions for you, bud?
I think you did a great job. Thank you very much. I love listening to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Waterford and talk to John. Good morning, John. You're on with the guys. Are you there, John?
Hey, yeah, I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How can we help you?
Yep. Yeah, I'm buying a combination floodlight security camera exterior, and it's got a siren on it. And I want to turn the siren off, mute it. Do you know if these things have that feature? Because we get deer and all that kind of stuff. I don't want it going off in the middle of the night because of the raccoon.
It should be indicated that there should be a wiring diagram from the factory that indicates what makes the hot lead go to the alarm inside the unit. And once you identify that, you should just be able to, you know, cap that off, clip it and cap it.
Yeah. Is this something you can control through an iPhone? Is it a smart device as well?
Yeah, but I'm not that smart. The phones are smarter than me.
Sound like me. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Well, give it to one of your kids.
I don't use Facebook. I use a phone book.
Gotcha.
If it's all solid state, then the chances are you have to do it electronically through the mechanism that operates it, like Ken suggested. If it looks like it's hardwired, then, again, you may be able to find that wire and cap it.
Which there's something to be said for a hardwired security system.
I love stuff like that.
Me too. And I got to tell you, though, the cameras can drive you crazy because they will take a picture of anything that comes up to your door, anything, and it just drives me crazy. But I still need it. Okay. And I have it.
Well, hey, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks, John. Stay well.
And we do have a new team partner that is specializing in this area, correct?
Yeah, Sean Jarbo, Jarbcom. We've spoken with him a few times over the last year.
Yes.
And they do a tremendous job, and he does everything from rent, telescoping job, lights and cameras, you know, to keep job sites secure,
mm-hmm.
to really sophisticated high-end systems in offices and houses. And he seems like a great person.
He does. Remember, Chuck, when we first started the Inside Outside Guys years ago, how hard it was for us to try to find quality contractors? It really was tough.
Yeah, it was. And like shoving toothpicks up your fingernails. It was hard to do.
It was. And we had found a great foundation and concrete company that after a couple of years with us, they decided to move all their operations over to the west side. And one of the gentlemen that worked for them, his name was Rich Piccarelli. And Rich would come on to us, and we trusted Rich. He did a great job. And Rich has now started his own company, and he's going to be on with us tomorrow.
Yeah.
And talking to us about the literally decades and decades of experience he has in this industry.
And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned him. His ad started running earlier today in the show for his company. And when we have a guy like him, person like him, doesn't have to be a guy, that leaves for a good reason. It's happened.
Yeah, oh, sure.
You and I rue that. It's like, God darn it, I wish he or she could just keep the business here because we like them.
Rove Pest Control.
Oh, gosh.
We had Rove for years, and unfortunately, they got bought out by a bigger company.
Yeah.
And we don't have them to refer anymore.
It's not even the same company.
No, it's not.
At least that we knew.
No, it's not. And it bums us out, so that's why we're looking for a good pest control company out there. If you people know one, we want to know about it. We want to know about your experience with them, and then we will go, we'll interview them, we'll find out more about them, and see if they're a good fit for the Inside Outside guys.
You know, it kind of points up the belief that you and I espouse all the time, that we are bringing people in that have businesses, good people. It all starts with good people.
It does. And you know what? There's something to be said about a good leader. Whether that leader is a man or a woman, a good leader is priceless. And if you want to stick around next hour as Ann Thomas talks to women who lead, there are some unbelievably sharp ladies being interviewed by an unbelievably sharp lady. Stick around for more on WJR, Ann Thomas, Women Who Lead.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much. Bye-bye.